Thank you. And go Bears.
Let's dance. Let's party. Let's boogie.
It's Friday. Gotta get down on Friday.
Let's thank everybody who joined the show today, shall we? Adam Hoge, Ron Hughley, Joe Ostrowski, Kevin Fishbane, and Dr. Chris Nowinski. Thanks to Ray Diaz, Adam Studzinski, Brandon Fryer, Connor O'Donnell, Kevin Lapka for everything today. Thanks to Ryan Porth for buying pizza for everybody today. That was very nice of him. And Marshall, for the last couple days, thank you very, very much. I had an absolute blast with you outside yesterday on the beautiful afternoon, and a lot of fun today on our Football Friday.
It's been a blast. Always love sharing the room with all three of the people who are in it right now. You guys have always treated me with such a just greatness.
Screw you, Marshall.
No, I love you guys.
No, he's being real.
I'm on the record of saying I love David Haw and Matt Spiegel. Like,
yeah, I just wanted to be first in with a screw you.
Okay, that's fine.
You know what I mean?
That's fine.
I don't know if David would have beat me there. Burns, he might have.
I might. He doesn't. He does. He's too nice for that. But David Haw lives in this room now, apparently.
Apparently.
I'm not back.
Yeah, he's back.
Man, I'm back. Just left my stuff here.
Sometimes I remember being a bartender on an afternoon shift and then getting word at like 8 o'clock.
Oh no.
That the 8 o'clock person wasn't going to be showing up that night. And I was asked to work a double, and then all of a sudden I was there until like 2 AM. You know what I mean? That's David Haw.
Can you just say you had plans?
No. I mean, you could, but then you might lose that job. In my 20s, I needed every job
I had. You never know. You never know, guys.
Yeah, man. Shout out to Otis's on Halstead near Webster, where I worked many a double. But David Haw is here.
He's doing double duty.
I thought you were going to talk about some of the regulars that were there all day at the end of the bar.
Yeah, no, they usually didn't last as long as I did. But, you know, a new wave would come in, and that's what we get for David. You know, the morning mob. Wave,
different vibe. Got to talk to Grody twice in a day. That's not so bad.
Oh, boy.
It's fine.
That's tough.
I kind of owe him. I wasn't real kind or friendly. A little combative this morning for Grody.
Really?
A little combative. Yeah, not going to lie. A little tension there.
I just heard two men creative. Making points that happened to be on different ends of the spectrum.
You know, Grody, you got to know how to handle Grody, but he was fine. He's a little bit of a diva sometimes, but you know, he was okay.
I missed it. Well, can we?
Are we talking about the same Grody?
Can we bring back that?
Oh, I love Grody. He knows I'm kidding. No, I think I asked him about Montez Sweat and he took it the wrong way or whatever, but we had a good exchange.
But Grody's gotten really good. He's gotten really good at getting Montez Sweat to laugh, which is our only goal in the afternoon. I mean, maybe you're looking for wisdom or like insight into breaking down a game. We just want Montez to laugh.
It's a different vibe this afternoon. I'm in a different vibe place.
Are you ready to laugh?
Yeah. I laugh in the morning. It's just really early. I can't really remember laughing this morning, but I can't remember what I said either, so that's okay.
Do you remember laughter?
Did Dustin let you laugh?
Yes.
Okay.
At him, sure, with him.
But you have to like redeem a token of some kind or like buy indulgences?
You can laugh if you wear pants. If you wear shorts, you can't laugh.
Got it.
If you wear flip-flops, no deal. So there's a very strict.
Oh, is he bad on the shorts? Because I wear shorts all the time in the morning.
Well, you're going to. We didn't want to tell you that because you're such a nice guy.
So my personal manager and my stylist, who's also my wife.
I figured as much.
Yeah, she's told me that she's strongly advised me if I do shorts on the bottom, do a collared shirt on the top. If I'm going to do a t-shirt on the top, do pants on the bottom.
Why?
To offer a semblance of adulthood and professionalism.
But you're still going for that top button, right? You're going to the top button.
That's eternal.
The Chris Olsen, Chris Sims. Sorry, Chris.
Chris Sims.
Chris Sims.
Oh, Chris Sims
he
is a child.
Chris Sims.
This is the House Martins and Morrissey. This is 1989 Manchester.
I just see Chris Sims on NBC.
That's wild.
Over the weekend, and I thought
he
of Matt
was doing
Spiegel.
It? Oh, well, good. Well, yeah, that's what he's doing. That's what he's doing.
So he's
then.
Copying Matt Spiegel.
Yeah, I fell in love with his style in 1989, and I'm never letting it go.
Okay.
You can.
Wait, David's got a problem with it.
No, I don't.
All right.
I don't think he has a problem. I think he was just curious about what made you.
He's got an extra button on the golf shirt maybe you should take care of. Maybe it's a day for fighting with David Haw.
Oh,
there we go.
No, you don't want that.
No, it's too
I need
tight.
You to breathe, yeah, David. I need you to breathe.
I need to breathe. I need to laugh. I need to be relaxed here. This
you
is
will.
The cool vibes, right, man? Hey, babe?
No, if Friday afternoon's all right for fighting, maybe get a little different vibe going, I guess.
The cool vibes, all right, man. It's close. It's so close.
We're going to talk baseball for 4 hours.
Dude, now I'm going to not laugh.
This is hit and run versus is and it combines with Inside the Clubhouse.
Crossover.
You guys think it's a Bears Friday. Okay.
Hey, man, it's like those nights when the networks would have like crossover episodes.
Yeah.
That's what this is.
This is.
What do you think of Seiya Suzuki's base running blunder from the other night?
Well, let me tell you.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
Do you remember when Scooby-Doo showed up or the Harlem Globetrotters comedy hour?
Batman and Robin.
Crossed over with 100%. Scooby-Doo?
100%.
Yeah. It kind of felt weird.
Yeah. But that's it. This isn't weird.
Okay.
This is weird. Dan. This is weird.
No, it's not.
We're capitalizing on the weird.
Yeah, okay.
Hopefully some of your morning peeps who hate me will come by and some of the afternoon folks who hate you will come by.
Wow. Great.
Everybody hates it works out perfectly for everybody.
That's why your ratings are so good.
I just want to point out I love everyone. Yeah. That's all I want to say.
Well, that's why you wore that great t-shirt today. Speaks, you got to admit, Marshall's t-shirt.
Awesome.
Awesome.
Dick Allen.
Yeah.
Dick Allen, father of so many things and tangentially the father of the walk-up song. He and Nancy Faust collaborate.
Oh, that's right.
She plays Jesus Christ Superstar for Dick Allen Superstar, and it is the first ever walk-up song in the history of baseball or any other sport.
Music and baseball. 4 hours.
Let's
We're
going
to be here till 6.
Nancy Faust was at the White Sox
game.
Saw
that.
And they put her up on the big screen and got an ovation. I don't know if she was there by invitation of the White Sox
or not.
And
when she sneezed, 17 people said, bless you.
Man.
Nah,
and you could hear
each
one of them
hear her.
Individually.
Come on, guys.
I mean, there was only 25 people there.
The White Sox.
What?
Like, you're making me sad.
No, they're the ones making you sad. Yeah. We're just pointing out how they make you sad. I think that's what we're doing.
I think Dan was a little shocked that I watch White Sox games still. And is it? Do you guys find that strange that I put it on? Like, I put on the White Sox game?
Yeah, kind of.
A little bit.
Go White Sox.
But wait a sec. This is my third today I learned today.
With Marshall?
We had two during high noon. I did not know that superstar for him that was the first.
No, I didn't know that either. Thank you
for informing
me and the general public.
The other one that I found really interesting was I read about the death of an actor. If you can picture the original Karate Kid... Do you remember the character named Dutch? Dutch was one of Johnny Lawrence's Cobra Kai henchmen.
Oh, boy.
Not the get him a body bag guy, but the bleach blonde curly hair guy with a strong jaw.
Okay.
It really sort of the angry expression, the total like really bleachy blonde curly hair guy.
Now.
I love that
picture
movie.
Him. That actor died on Wednesday.
Chad McQueen?
He died Wednesday. Did you know that's Steve McQueen's son?
No, I did not know that.
No, I didn't know that.
I had no clue. And there were pictures, and then they're showing pictures of
now the resemblance.
Yes,
think that.
And when he was young, and he got into auto racing just like Steve McQueen, and apparently his death was caused by organ failure after multiple injuries that he had suffered as an auto racer, leading a texter to opine that he probably wasn't that good at auto racing.
God,
but it was. I how did I not know?
I don't know. I don't know, Dan. But Karate Kid and members only references. This is an 80s overload.
Yeah, it is.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
I didn't say there was.
Members only jacket.
What did I have
ever.
One? No, never, okay. never owned one okay. ever. Okay. I remember that was my description though of Chip Carey when he came here as the broadcaster for the Cubs is that his voice sounded like it was wearing a members only jacket.
That's awesome.
That is very like you start
very
picturing.
Specific.
Like,
yeah.
It's extremely specific.
It's synesthetic too.
It's like a whole. It's a mood, a vibe, if you will.
How long did Skip stop talking to you?
You know, Skip
was dead.
Yeah, but Chip did not, and actually
George.
Ended up talking to Chip this year on the PBP podcast, and he was awesome. David, I think you were listening that morning when I played a chunk of it.
Yes.
On Hit and Run, Chip
Carey was very good.
Was like emotional and super interesting and cool about his dad and his
Chip's
grandfather.
Tremendous in that. That was on Father's Day, I believe.
It was.
That.
It was indeed.
It was. He was a very good guest.
Here's the thing. I will listen to Inside the Clubhouse and hit up David and Bruce every once in a while, and they will listen to Hit and Run. So it really is a crossover.
Have you texted Buck about his inadvertent spousal abuse?
Not only did I text Joe Buck to wish his wife well, but then yesterday we got a text from somebody who said, hey, Spiegs, you should text Joe Buck and wish his wife well. This could be the one time you offer him something in your one-sided relationship.
Wow.
Because we've
that's
joked,
a listener right
that's
there.
That's a listener, man, because we've joked in the past about how like I only get in touch with Buck when I'm asking him to come on the show.
So
I sent him a picture of that text.
That story is wild, though. The story is wild.
Is it true that she was doing a handstand?
That's what they said.
He drove a golf ball. Were they doing like an Instagram bit or
no,
something?
No, she has the way he described it, that she likes when she goes places. She's a former cheerleader, so she's a gymnast, and so she does handstands when she goes to places, kind of like maybe takes a picture. I don't know. But she was in the midst of doing that when he was teeing off, and he was she was in front of him, and boom. What are the chances?
Why was
the golf
she
ball
in front of him, though?
That's a good question.
Yeah, like, as opposed to behind him.
There, I know.
To the side.
I don't know that.
To the side of me, you're still in danger.
Okay, yeah. That's why I said behind to start. I was like, I don't know how good of a golfer he is.
She should have stood back and to the left. Back and to the left. So you guys just talked about Derek Bender, the catcher. Yeah. Tipping pitches
I
to the opposition.
When I saw it, I thought it was a gambling thing. I was like, oh, he's clearly, this is going to start a thing.
He was just bored. He just wanted to go home.
Or is like many five-year-olds whose parents make them play.
It's the South Park episode. No,
there's got to be something deeper, man. It's got to be a mental health component, an addiction component.
Don't take the fun out of it.
Okay, sorry.
So
I know that's your gig.
You could be right.
It's got to be like, I got to get to my girlfriend part of it.
I don't think so.
So I'll ask the two of you, do you think he'll ever play pro baseball again?
But that's the thing, because some of his former teammates are saying, he's one of my favorite teammates that I ever had. Even when they found out he did it, they had him sit in the bullpen the last two games instead of sitting in the dugout because they were so pissed at him. I'm telling you, there's a deeper thing. He's going to talk, and there's going to be something deeper.
The game is too hard. The path is too crowded. I don't see him coming back from this.
I
don't think he's ever going to get another opportunity unless he's just got this unbelievable skill set that if he did, he wouldn't have been a six-rounder.
He was batting 200.
Yeah.
So
he was ready to go.
He's batting 200 and not a good enough defensive catcher. They said he was probably going to have to switch to first base. So he's got some things going wrong with him.
First base in A-ball already means you're probably never going to make it to the majors.
You're just filling the spot.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't know I was going that deep, though. I thought he was just bored and wanted to get home.
You know me, man.
You
immediately went down the rabbit hole, didn't you?
I tend to psychologically profile and add layers.
Oh, okay.
And then oftentimes those layers are there. You know what I mean?
And when they're not? It's too late then.
Keep shooting your shot. It's like drafting a quarterback in the top five. You know what I mean?
Oh, don't do that. If you're the Panthers, it is.
Well, that's what the whole league is. That's why this whole quarterback conversation all week has been so interesting. It's like, let's teach this one way, and if it works, great. And if it doesn't, we'll draft somebody again, and we'll try again. And they keep churning out these quarterback prospects because there's loads of them every year.
And nobody can play the position now.
It's really hard to play.
Unless you're Sam Darnold in Minnesota.
When you take the preseason off, when you essentially don't work for a month, you're not going to be very good at what you do early on. And that's what the NFL has become. The preseason means nothing to these guys, and they're learning that it needs to.
I think it's more than that, and I think we did a segment on it because in the first drive last night, Kirk Herbstreit made mention of what's going on with defensive positioning and not just the playing of two deep safeties, but it's either cover two man, or quarter as a component of quarters coverage. Matt Bowen tweeted that the Bills were in it 75% of the time in that game. Herbstreit said this is why quarterbacking has gotten tougher, and it isn't just because of the alignment, it's because of the quality of athletes at all of these positions. And nobody's taken the top off it because nobody's got time to run all the verticals.
Well, wouldn't you then play better, more linemen and or more tight ends, block it
run
up
the ball.
Better.
Run the ball.
Well, run the ball and block it up better to give yourself time to take the top off.
Yeah, I don't know if I buy that explanation. I understand why people would argue it, but I do think that if you see that on a consistent enough basis, you should have a good enough offensive coordinator to figure out a way to run the ball so they can't play that way. That's football. So you figure it out, and then you send somebody deep behind the guys who are cheating up to stop the run, and then you exploit that weakness.
Maybe it'll come, but we're not seeing it yet.
They're not seeing it yet because I think it's all related to the fact that
we just
don't practice.
And then,
They don't have enough time to master that. They don't have enough time to research. I just think it's a matter of when you practice less, you shouldn't expect more during games.
But David, C.J. Stroud had this exact same kind of offseason last year.
Mm-hmm.
So the difference there is what? The difference, as far as I can tell, is what Bobby Slowick Jr. teaches, which he learned from Kyle Shanahan, which Mike McDaniel brought to Miami and fixed Tua with, which is a coverage read as opposed to a pure progression. So that's why I'm leaning into that so much, because these problems you're talking about with the preseason are not new.
Yeah, I think that's one explanation, but I think either you're a quarterback, and no matter how you teach it, some guys are just able to process information at a higher rate than others, no matter how you teach it. And the gifted ones, C.J. Stroud, I don't care what he scored on whatever test, that was a huge misrepresentation of how much football intellect he has. You could teach him a lot of things. You can give Bobby Slowick Jr. a lot of credit, but it comes down to C.J. Stroud is able to process things at a faster rate than most people, most of his peers.
Hey, man, I agree. Look, that's a massive issue. I talked to J.J. Stankiewicz about Anthony Richardson along this same path, and Shane Steichen is teaching the pure progression stuff, but Richardson is really good at it. What's similar with what Steichen and Waldron are doing, because Waldron answered the question yesterday when Mark Grody asked him, was this: Caleb is empowered. Maybe he didn't have it yet, but he's empowered to go up to the line of scrimmage, read something pre-snap, and know that he can skip one and two in his progressions. Mm-hmm. Know that he can cut right to 3, 4, and 5 because of what he reads pre-snap. And Richardson has been empowered with that and is good at that already.
Well, then that is, I would argue that we're basically in a semantic debate.
It is semantic.
Because then it's not semantics. Pure progression.
It is
progression based.
Yeah.
But if you say, look, here's where your eyes can go and when they can go there.
Mm-hmm.
But if your pre-snap look or your post-snap look informs you otherwise, that sounds to me like that is a progression that isn't pure progression.
Well, and let me give you another argument for possible semantics at play here. Didn't Matt Nagy used to do a zone beater on one side and a man beater on the other? Remember Nagy doing that with Mitch and Mitch being unable to learn that?
Zone again?
Yeah. That's
problematic for any quarterback.
That's on Mitch.
I agree that's on Mitch.
Because that's not that abnormal. That's on Mitch because that's when you knew you probably had a problem when
right.
he was either resisting that or unable to grasp it.
But if so, you go up to the line and you see that they're in man because the man in motion has just told you mm-hmm. that, then you know to skip your zone beaters right. on one side.
Unless they sent the guy in motion as a decoy.
Yeah, right. Now,
and they race him right back to his zone spot.
That's football, mister. Now we're getting to
it's
it.
It's fun.
It's fun, isn't it?
It's Marshall? Very fun. I can't wait for this game Sunday night.
Are we allowed to mention the injury report in the afternoon show?
Yeah, we usually wait for our sounder.
Oh, okay.
Why would we not, David?
I don't know. I'm just asking. I don't like
it. He doesn't know the rules.
It's very newsy.
David, this is
it's very newsy.
He doesn't know if it's
home.
Pure progression or
this
if it's something
home.
Else he has to read.
Look, Ryan Bates is out of this game.
Saw that.
So it's all Nate Davis.
And so it's all Nate
and
Davis.
And it's also all who under at center?
Coleman Shelton.
And who else?
That?
Who else is out?
Kari Blassingame game.
So what does
no
that
fullback.
Mean? No fullback.
So more Cole Kmet. He'll have more than 26 snaps.
And I think we see Roschon Johnson active.
More than likely, but Roschon Johnson was probably likely to take Velus Jones' roster spot.
Fine. I was hoping for that yesterday. But either way, he's a good pass protector.
Yes.
And on passing downs.
So no Velus Jones Jr.?
No, I think with no Blassingame, I think
know.
We might now.
I don't know.
I think it completely depends on the special teams roles and if they need it as a gunner or yeah. where he is on punt block. That if Richard Hightower thinks he needs him as something other.
He's not a kick returner.
No. Well, we know that. But that part we got.
Yeah, but Hightower yesterday.
We heard.
He was pained to be discussing it and to have to discuss it. You could tell the love for Velus and
but
he said
yeah,
unacceptable.
I loved his answer, though, because the way he answered it, he wanted to make sure he got a good answer because he understood the focus of that answer, and he made sure to humanize Velus Jones Jr. in the answer.
Mm-hmm. It's unacceptable.
Yeah, that's at the end of the day.
Unacceptable.
See, it reminded me, as I mentioned, of the Barry Rosner golf rule about if you have a club that is at fault, you take that club out of the bag and you leave it in the garage for a while, and then it learns its lesson. And later, once you feel that club has felt shame and remorse and is ready to return yeah. to its role, you put it back in your bag.
Out of time, out and into the bag, yes. and onto the green.
Yeah, that's like me cutting a guy on my fantasy football team to send a message. You know what I mean?
At what point does that glove end up in your neighborhood garage sale?
That's what I asked Dan too. Because I was like, can't you just get rid of the club?
No, that's your club. You know, the eight iron will find its way back in because you know.
Do you need the eight iron?
I do. Yeah, oh, I hit a lot. I hit a lot of old man little run shots.
Stop hitting old men. I mean, that doesn't seem appropriate. Stop playing golf with your dad to eliminate the possibility.
That's the only way I'm going to beat him. Yeah. Is literally.
They have been Bernstein and Marshall Harris. We are Spiegel and Company. David Haw is and Company.
I'm and Company today.
He is and Company.
I am keeping company.
Hey, dude, take it from me. I was once the in the Danny Mac show. Sorry. We do what we must in this
Spiegel
world.
Spiegel and Company.
Spiegel and Company.
Spiegel and Company.
I don't have to say it because they will. It's a lot of people.
Okay.
It's a long afternoon. You're in for it. We're going to have a good time. Olin Krutz is on the show today. Did you talk to him today?
No, I didn't.
Right. Mark Grody's on the show. The you talked to him?
I did talk to Grody.
Okay.
Yeah, we're gonna have some words.
All right, Dan Weider.
I'm even more interested in the new Spiegel and Haw show. Wow, that's great. So Haw's moving to afternoons?
What's that?
Yesterday.
What is that?
Yeah, Grody just playing along.
Grody is... Like, what's he, rumor-mongering?
Yes, I love it.
Is this what Grody has become?
Yeah, no, this is Vegas Haw. It's Spiegel and Vegas Haw. It's a completely different show.
Then we're going to have some beverages here.
We can make that happen.
Not Vegas Haw, Vegas Haw.
Vegas, okay. That's right. Okay. Frankly, it's unacceptable. And Dan Weiderer, who I don't think David has talked to in the last 45 minutes.
He'll be on
later on in the show. Tanny's Open gets us going. It's a Football Friday, spirited one, on the afternoon show. Spiegel and Company here on The Score.